Of all the books, with the exception of chapter 12, chapter 12 is my favorite, but of all the chapters in Ecclesiastes, chapter 7 is the favorite one. I guess I'd say the second favorite one of all that is in this book. Chapter 7 starts out in verse number 1. It says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth." A good name is better than precious ointment. Now, there's another passage of Scripture that talks about having a good name. Keep your finger here in Ecclesiastes. We're going to turn around a little bit, but go to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 22. I'll show you a parallel here. Proverbs chapter 22. And look at verse 1. "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver and gold." So here in Proverbs 22:1, it says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And in Ecclesiastes 7:1, a good name is better than precious ointment. Now that precious ointment would be expensive ointment, like the alabaster box that was broken and poured on the feet of Jesus. All right? So the Bible tells us that a good name is a pretty important thing, not just in Ecclesiastes when he's talking about life under the sun, but in Proverbs chapter 22 it says the same thing. I'll tell you, I'm thankful that it's not about my name. I don't think that this is teaching us, or that the Bible in balance teaches us, that we're to be obsessed with our own name. I will say this, it is important to have a good name, isn't it? And the Bible says if you got to choose that versus money, choose a good name. The hard thing about a good name is that it doesn't come quick. You want to have a good reputation, excuse me for using the phrase. Christ made himself a no reputation. The right way to say it is you want to have a good testimony. Well, that's going to take time. A good testimony is something you got to earn. A good testimony is something that doesn't come quick, and it doesn't come easy, and it doesn't come with popularity. A good testimony is something that's hard to get, and can I say this about that? And this subject right here is pretty near and dear to my heart. A good name is something that you can take a long time building and you can ruin in an instant. Now see, that's kind of where I'm going with this tonight. You can quickly lose a good name. You can spend your life trying to build a name and build a testimony and build a ministry and build a reputation and be known for being a man of God, and then in one stupid, sinful, foolish act, completely lose a good name that you had built. Now, here's some food for thought. The Bible's not teaching us here to be proud. The Bible's not teaching us here to be worried about our reputation because we're the Reagan family. I've seen this take place in churches. Well, we're from such and such. Well, our church. Sometimes that infatuation with a good testimony or good reputation, a good name, leeches over with the process of time and in a very subtle way without you realizing it into pride and into arrogance. And it'll start coming out when anybody around you that is associated with your name starts to behave in a way that embarrasses you. You begin, instead of teaching your children to serve God, teaching your children right and wrong, teaching your children, hey, would God have you do that? Do you realize what that's going to bring forth in your life? Don't you recognize that doesn't please God? Do you know where the end of that is going to get you? Instead of teaching your children to walk with God, you start saying stupid things like, well, I'm a pastor. You're a PK. That's the stupidest stuff, man. I am so against that junk. They're not PKs. They're just kids. You don't walk around telling Todd, when's the last time you said to your son, you're an MK, a mechanics kid? Right? That's a bunch of foolishness, man. That is stupid. It's not about that. It's not about my reputation as a pastor. Do you realize my ministry, if my kids grow up and don't serve Jesus Christ, my ministry doesn't end. Oh, his kids didn't turn out. He didn't rule his own house well. They're not living in my house. They moved out and made their own decisions. That doesn't mean my ministry ends. It's about them walking with Jesus Christ. It's not about family name or family reputation. It's not about church name or church reputation. Let me say this about your name and about my name. It's mud. Man, it's just like we hit the skids tonight. There's been all kinds of joy in church up until just now. I'm not being mean to you. I think I've got the best people on the planet. I love my church. I'm so thankful for my church. I love and appreciate the people that are here, every one of you. And I think you're genuine Christians trying to serve Jesus Christ. But you know what the Bible says about all of us? We're sinners. We're failures. So there's a name that's just a little bit more important than the name of Mike Reagan. And I do desire a good name. I don't want to see this situation where I spend my whole life or 20, 30 years of my life trying to serve the Lord, and then I wind up myself a castaway. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9. This bothers me, folks. I mean, this thing bothers me. And I think every once in a while, you and I need a little bit of this, not to create instability and insecurity in our walk with Christ, not to undermine your faith, not to get you constantly doubting yourself all the time, but just as a fresh reminder every once in a while that without the grace of God, without the goodness of God, without some faithfulness, without some gut check, without some repentance, without some taking heed to my feet and the direction that I'm going, checking up on my heart, asking God about my eyes, asking God to deal with my thought processes, double checking where I've been going, what I've been doing, and the way I've been thinking, I could wind up places I don't want to wind up. And God said a good name is better to be chosen than great riches. Ecclesiastes says a good name is better than precious ointment. So no matter how much money you have or don't have, or what kind of dreams you do or don't have in life, if your name becomes a bad name, what good is all the rest of that going to do you? I've seen this, folks. I've seen men spend their life trying to serve God and then wind up everybody, when you mention that name, you know what people don't think? They don't think 20, 30 years as a pastor. They don't think 15 years in the ministry. You know what they remember? Adultery. You know what they remember? Fornication. You know what they remember? Some kind of mess up. Now, I'm not saying God can't forgive you for that stuff and pick you back up and put you back in. I'm saying the way I think as a pastor, it scares me half to death. And I'm telling you, when you get obsessed with your name, that will lead to pride, and pride cometh before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's got to be something more important than your name and your reputation that you're living for. And I do desire to have a good name. And when I, in other words, when people say Michael Jasper Reagan, amen, Sammy? Amen, all right. I want them to know who MJR is, amen? I want them to think he loves God. He's a good witness. He loves others. He's in his Bible. I know I make mistakes, and I don't. I mean, I've caught, you know, believe it or not, I've caught a few of my own mistakes lately. I'm like, yeah, I said that, and that wasn't right. What an idiot. I'm not saying he's Mr. Perfect. I'm saying I want people to know he's a genuine Christian. He loves the Lord. But I'm telling you, there's a fine line between me beginning to be obsessed with my name and pride and failure. Something better be more important to me than my own name. 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul said this, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. In other words, Paul's talking in that context and that sense, the sense that he's given, he's talking about literally manhandling himself. It's like a body slam. It's like a submission control. Bring it into subjection. Why? Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul was saying, I've gone around preaching to other people. I've seen the Lord. I've wrote all these books. I've been around, involved in all these things I've been through and all the everything I've gone through, the jails, the stripes, the this, the that, the fastings, the watchings, the night and the day in the deep. And he said, after all that, I have to watch me. Because if I don't keep control of me, my name will be mud. You won't remember me as Paul the Apostle. You won't remember me as Paul that all that I've been through and all that I've done, you'll remember the fact that I got out of control and I ruined a good name. That's a scary thought to me. That's a very scary thought. Ephesians chapter 1. Let me show you the name that's the most important name. And it's a real good name. And it's a name that I prefer to be known by. Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 16. Ephesians 1, 16. Paul's praying here, and he says this about the church at Ephesus. He says, he ceases not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us word who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named. That includes your name. That includes Michael Jasper Reagan. Sammy gave me that name when I was a kid. I'm going by it. I like it. It's my new adopted name. I might even change my license if I feel like it. Above every name. What name? The name of Jesus Christ is above every name. That's above the name of your church. That's above your grandma, your grandpa, your papa, your mommy, your daddy, your children, your husband, your wife. That name is absolutely above every name. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's an eternal name. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You know, there's a good name that's better than precious ointment. A good name that's rather to be chosen than great riches. You know what that name is? It's the name of Jesus Christ. I want to do my best in my life to make sure that everything that I am, that I my preaching, the church, my personal life, my family life, that I am always connected to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and bringing myself into submission, beating myself down to allow him who God exalted to be the head of all things, bring myself under his control, my name under his name. That's how to have a good name. Allow Christ to be in charge. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. Philippians 2, 9. He says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know what name God gave him? A name that is above every name. You want a good name? Make sure that you got yourself hooked up with Jesus Christ. That's a good name. That's what your testimony's about. It ain't about your reputation. He made himself of no reputation. Make sure that you're connected to that name. That's the most important name back in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. I'll tell you the name of Mike Reagan. Sometimes, you know, I do okay and I act all religious and all high and mighty. And then other times I know that I'm ashamed of myself. And if everybody else knew about you, what God and you know about you, you'd be honest. You wouldn't be walking around all high and mighty and all self-righteous and super spiritual and, oh, we got such a great family and we're so wonderful. And I think you should have a great family. I really do. I think you should have a great marriage. I hope you have wonderful marriages. I hope you're just madly in love with each other and, you know, you never have a bad day and your children are perfect and, you know, nothing ever goes wrong. But in all reality, every one of us are a mess. And we struggle. And if we don't get ourselves under his control, people are going to know things about us that we're ashamed of. But if I get through my life with a good name, that's only because the name of Mike Reagan got under the foot of Jesus Christ. I realize he doesn't rule us like that. I know all that stuff, but I'm making the point here. Paul said, I do this. I beat myself down. I bring under my body. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. He's like talking about wrestling with himself. Why? To be underneath in subjection to the name of Jesus Christ. So therefore, my personality, my will, my desire, my goal, my reputation, all of that means absolutely nothing so long as I am under his control and his name really means something to me. Boy, if that's really how we live, then when he chooses to promote one of our friends or our family members or somebody else in church, we say, okay, praise the Lord. You know, you want to be the next, I mean, I don't know how much of a glutton for punishment you are, but you want to be the next, you know, 2-year-old Sunday school teacher, but preacher picks somebody else. Well, if that's God's will, praise the Lord. Now you're under the control of His name and not your own. Churches turn into this. You know, it just gets to be a madhouse of self-promotion, not all about the name of Jesus Christ. And that's why they wind up getting a bad testimony. They wind up getting known for being places of fighting and envy and strife and division and backbiting and gossip and all kinds of foolishness goes on. Why? Because of my name's more important than His name. If His name's the most important thing, then guess what's going to happen to my name? People will know me for a Christian. They'll know me for a man of God. They'll know me for Jesus Christ if I can keep myself under the control of His name and not my own. That's a good name. Look at the rest of that verse. And the day of death than the day of one's birth. So there's more to this than just how you are today. He says a good name is better than precious ointment. And the day of your death is better than the day you were born. Now, what in the world, man? Look at verse number 8. Verse number 8 gives us a little light on verse number 1. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Now, I'll have more to say about that before long. But the first part of that makes it pretty clear. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. You doing good? You serving God? You getting going? You growing in the Lord? All right, don't brag about it yet. Let not he that putteth on his armor boast as he that taketh it off. You're just getting started, man. Let's wait until we finish the race to talk about who won. Why? Because you might run for 10 or 15 or 20 years and you might start out like a madman. I mean, you're the hare, not the tortoise. You're smoking everybody. And in 20 years, you're all of a sudden laying up there under the juniper tree, sweating it out, panting away, done, discouraged, quit, give up, and there that tortoise goes just wandering on by you, still on the track. It's more important to me to finish right than it is how I start. At 41 years young, I'm not too worried about where I'm at right now, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm not too worried about how big the church is or isn't. I'm not too worried about how high rolling and holy rolling I am or ain't. I'm just worried about whether or not I'm in my lane and I'm doing what God wants me to do today. If I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing today, then the rest of it will take care of itself. Because it's more important how I finish than it is how I compare or stack up to anybody else right now. It ain't about how you start. It ain't about how good you are doing now or how far you've come thus far. It's about how you're going to finish that's important. You will be more remembered for how you finished than how you started. That ought to encourage some of you that got saved later in life. It's more important how you finish than how you started. If I've heard it once, man, I've heard it 100 times. I wish I'd had your upbringing. I wish I'd have got saved when I was young. I wish I'd have been raised in church like you. And it's like, that's just I appreciate that and I understand the sentiment and I do realize that God has blessed me greatly and that I've been given great advantage. But to whom much is given, much is required. So it's really not all that great. I mean, it's great, but it's not as great as you might think it is. That's a human perspective, see? So I feel like, you know, I have a great advantage, but I feel like I probably get a whole lot less reward than some of you get. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Because I just think God expects a lot out of me. I think for some of you, you get rewarded for things that I could do the exact same thing, and God look at me and go, so what? God, look what I did. Oh, so what? Shut up. Why? Because of how much I've been given. That's a scary responsibility to me. You kids that are being raised in church, you have a huge responsibility because you've been given a lot from an early age. Some of these folks that got saved later in life, man, it's more important how you finish than how you started. It doesn't matter. Forget about all that. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. God, listen, the devil will use the things behind on people who've accomplished something. In other words, you know, it's easy to look back and go, wow, in 11 years, look what the Lord's done. I mean, we're just praying about that tonight and what a blessing that is. Man, it's great. You know, here we are. You know, we got debt free, blah, blah, blah. And it just, well, okay, so everything's going good. So now let's just put it in neutral. No, you got to forget what you've already accomplished, what God's already done, and look forward to what God might do in the future. Praise the Lord, man. I want to keep my eyes looking forward. I want to finish strong. I don't want to just be talking about how it was back when we started. We got something to move forward for now. Forgetting those things, reaching forth. Why? Because the day of your birth is better than the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Finish right. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't be a Roman candle that blows up and blows out. I'd rather just be a tiny little flickering light and keep flickering until I die than to be some massive explosion that's forgotten about in 10 years. Acts chapter 20, please. I know we're teaching here, but I got a little preachy in me. I don't know what's going on with me, but it is what it is. Acts chapter 20, 24, and I don't apologize. Acts 20, book of verse 24. I just love the heart I hear in this. Paul says, but none of these things move me. What's he talking about? Bonds and afflictions. What a guy. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. That's the problem with most of us. Our life is just too important to us. Why? So that I might finish my course with joy. If your life is too important to you, you don't have any joy in your Christian walk. Because all you can think about is your life. He said, I want to finish my course, finish my course, finish my course with joy. I want to get happier as time goes on. I don't want to be known for being that mean, cranky old preacher. I want to be known for being a preacher who finished his course and did it with joy. I want my kids to be like, man, the Christian life's a pretty good life. My parents seem to do a lot of laughing. They weren't always, they do see us miserable and it's okay for them. It doesn't damage their little psyche if we raise our voice and it's actually good for them to know the realities of life in this sinful human world. Doesn't crush them. But I do want them to say, man, mom and dad were pretty happy serving Jesus. We had a happy Christian home. It's a good thing to serve the Lord. I want them to see that. Amen. Boys, they get older, I want to try to take them to some third world countries. I want to take them down there, downtown, and let them see what the real prostitutes and drug addicts look like, not what they think they look like from what they see polished up in the suburbs. I want them to see the reality at the end of that course. And then I want them to see the reality at the end of a course that's spent serving God and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You know what made Paul so great? He didn't sit around talking about what he'd already done and just stop there. He said, I want to finish my course and I want to finish it with joy. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up. I want to press on for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to finish right. My preacher said this, people will never forgive you for two things. Number one, they'll never forgive you for failing. You get that good name. You get a bad name, people will never forgive you for it. They'll always remember you for that. That's human nature. They'll always remember you for your sin. They'll define you by your sin. You know what else people will never forgive you for? Succeeding. They'll never forgive you for failing, but they'll never forgive you for being a success either. You finish your course with joy and you serve God to the end and you stay on track and you don't get sidetracked from it. You're like a bulldog, man. You stay on it and you just keep in your lane. And you know what people do? They'll criticize you for doing right because they're under conviction. And they know what a sinner you are, so they figure, well, if he could do it, I could probably do it too. And they don't like to see your success in Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at Paul's attitude about finishing. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course. See that? It's personal. I've kept the faith. What a thing to be able to say at the end of your life. Boy, I hope to God with all my soul, I hope to God that I can be an old man if God lets me be an old man. And if he cuts me off early, I hope to God that I can say, well, I fought as hard as I could fight while I was alive. I finished the course God put me on. I kept the faith. I didn't defect. I'm not a traitor. I didn't cut and run. I'm not a coward. I didn't give up. I didn't betray. I stuck with it. I fought to the bitter end. And Christians, if there was any time that it's exciting to be in this fight, it's now. It's now. I mean, the more intense the fight, the greater the victory. You know that, right? And you watch a football game where one team is just completely steamrolling the other team, or hockey or basketball, whatever you're into. I mean, steamrolling them, like bad, like it's not even close. By the time you get to the end of that game, you're not like shouting and like, yeah, I got another point, woo, right? You're like, dude, this is lame, right? But what about when it's real close and they're just fighting just tooth and nail to make it to the end and they're exhausted and it's point for point, and then at the last second, the team you're rooting for scores a touchdown. I mean, I don't know, hockey, they do a double overtime or overtime and all that. How about that? What are you doing, man? You're coming unglued, right? It's like, woo! Hey, that's exactly where we're at right now in this fight. It is double overtime, and it looks to the world and it looks to the church like we're losing. And all of a sudden, Jesus Christ is going to split that eastern sky, and he's going to call us out of here, and it's not going to be like, oh, well, we knew it. It's going to be exciting, man. It's going to be a rush, man. Like, I made it! Woo! I mean, man, when God opens your eyes and shows you all the principalities and powers that were giving you a hard time, I don't overdo this stuff, right? Can you testify to that? I don't overdo the whole devil thing, and I put more blame and guilt on us than I do. But the Bible does teach, and I'm already studying for Sunday morning, we're going to get into a little bit of this, that the principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world are giving you fits. They're giving you a hard time. Your flesh is giving you a hard time. You're up against it, and you're still here tonight. You're still fighting. That means that when you get the victory, when Jesus Christ comes, when we get out of here, I almost said the... not a swear word, but an abbreviation, and I'm trying to be good for you that trying to raise your kids not to use abbreviations for swear words, H-E-C-K, because we're going to get the H-E-C-K out of here, amen? You'll be okay, breathe everybody, it's all right, because we're getting out of here, amen? I'm excited about that. I mean, I'm really excited about it. Why? Because, I mean, I'm fighting, aren't you? It's not always like, oh, this is just so great, and I'm just so happy to be serving Jesus. Every once in a while, I step back, and I get a little discouraged to see preachers failing, to see sin going on in churches, to see all that the devil's doing, the flesh is doing, that's hurting us and that's stopping us, that's getting in our way, the times the devil has tried to attack you. And listen to me, the devil's after your kids, the devil's after your marriage, the devil's after your church. It's going to be real good when the Lord says, however he's going to do that thing, and we take off out of here, man. That's going to be all right. We won! Amen. And I sure don't want to be sitting there going, oh, man, if I'd have just hung on two more years. Can't believe I got that. I can't believe I quit. I can't believe I let myself get that tired. That's a humiliating thing. I know what it feels like to be tired. And I don't mean to turn this carnal, but it's a great illustration. The coach dismissed class not too long ago. He said, all right, everybody's done. Mike and Mike, you go again. I turned around and looked at him. I was like, come on. He said, oh, shut up. Cry all you want, but you're going again. Get out there. He got mad because I said, come on, man. I'm exhausted. I'm one of the oldest guy in here, and you're making me go again. I'm having a heart attack. We got done. He said, good job, blah, blah, blah. And he said this. He said, I wanted you to know something. I said, what? He said, when you feel like you're totally exhausted, you still have at least 10% left. Give the last 10. And I thought, boy, that just reminded me of my Christian life. Some lost Brazilian guy's talking to me, but the Holy Spirit of God's saying, now don't forget that. I fought a good fight. Boy, you can get to where you just know, you don't understand, I can't go on anymore. I'm going to die. I'm done. I'm exhausted. I cannot. And what you don't know is you still got 10% left. Change your mind, get the heart, get out there, and you'll make it, man. The clock's coming. The clock's coming. It's about up. Too many people are quitting. Too many Christians are quitting. Too many churches are giving up. Too many Christians are giving up. They're succumbing to the pressure of sin. They're succumbing to the pressure of the devil. They're succumbing to the pressure of the flesh. They're succumbing to their emotions, to their feelings, to their thoughts, to all the things the devil's trying to do to stop the work. And I'm telling you, we got a name worth serving, and your name is associated with that name now, because he's your Savior. To them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You believe on his name, he's given you the power. Now, it's totally different than that carnal stuff, that stuff that means absolutely, positively nothing. It means nothing compared to what God's doing in you and your spiritual walk with Christ. And he's put the power in you to finish that last round. I just can't. Oh, quit crying and get out there. Because your crying ain't going to get you out of it. Get back in the fight. Why? Your name's associated with that name, and that name's worth sacrificing for. And if you give up, then your name looks bad. His name's going to go on with or without you. So you might as well team up with it and push through. Because it's a great name, man. It's a real great name. The name of Jesus Christ, that's a great name. The name of Mike Reagan, it'll quit. It'll quit. It'll hit its limit. It'll start crying. It'll start complaining. It'll wimp out. But the name of Jesus Christ, that's a name that's above every name, and God's going to subdue the whole world to it. And God gives us a privilege of being yoked up with that name. What a good name it is. And the day of one's death, then the day of one's birth. I'm going to stop there, because the next verse just launches into a whole bunch of good stuff that'll just be a real blessing to you about mourning and all that. Why God makes you suffer. Why God allows you to suffer. What you learn through suffering, you can't learn any other way. But look at that thing there about the day of death and the day of one's birth. You know why the day of your death is better than the day of your birth? That baby is born. You get to hold that little baby. You bring that thing into the world. And my wife and I said this 4 times. And there's a thought that goes through your head. Say, we just brought a child into a pretty wicked world. That's a pretty big deal. Why? Because on the day of that birth, that baby's laying there all swaddled up and all taken care of, and when they cry, they get fed. And it's a funny thing, they come out crying. They're crying when they're hungry, they're crying when they're poopy, they're crying when they're gassy, they're crying when they're crying all the time. Ain't that a testimony right there? I'm not telling you something, you just brought that child into a cursed world and it starts out crying. And then God only knows what all's ahead of that kid. But the day of your death, if you're saved, you pass from death unto life. That's the final victory. That's the last enemy you face. The day of your death ain't a bad thing, Christian. The day of your, I'm not saying any of us want to die or want to lose loved ones. But the day of your death ain't a bad thing. The day of your death is a good thing, because you're going on to glory. You're passing from death unto life. You can rest now. Your toil is over. Your work is over. But I just think, man, what about that day if I quit on God? What about that day if I had a testimony and I had a reputation and I had done something for the Lord, and then I'd quit? Man, you know what I don't want? I don't want my children to walk up to my casket and look at their daddy laying there and think, well, there were some good memories when we were young. Man, I wish things hadn't turned out like they did. I'm sure he believed what he preached all those years, but boy, at the end there, I don't know what happened. I don't know where all his standards went. What happened? I guess he was a midlife crisis? I don't know. Whew. I don't want former church members to walk into a funeral and look at a preacher laying in that casket and think, I wonder if it all is true, because boy, it sure seemed like the Holy Spirit of God was using him when he opened the book and spoke to my heart. But boy, he sure didn't. Whew. That scares me. That makes me want to yoke up with the name of Jesus Christ, because I feel safe there. I feel strong there. I know that's a good name. I know that's a faithful name. And I want to get to my grave. I'm serious. I want to get to that casket someday. And I want songs. I already know some of the songs I want sung at my funeral. I hope people start shouting and praising God, and the Holy Spirit shows up there, and he being dead yet speaketh. I'm messed up. I have weird thoughts about my funeral. Ain't that weird? the final revival meeting, preacher's funeral, a bunch of people get saved and Christians get right. Wouldn't that be great? Why? Because God took over, God took control, and I stayed faithful and finished my course. I don't want to quit. I fear that. Because a good name, the name of Jesus Christ, is a name I've connected myself to and sold out to. And that name is rather to be chosen than great riches. You could make me the richest man in the world. Listen, I could become so rich that I become a household name all over America. And if I got that, having denied the Lord and lost what I stand for and lost who I am and lost what I believe, I guarantee you one thing, I'd be a household name all over America, but I would be absolutely ashamed for people to know where I came from. Oh, he's a rich, powerful businessman, but you know he used to be a preacher? That to me is a shameful thought. Because the name of Jesus Christ and me being connected to that is more important than anything else on this planet.